We have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith and joined in person again by Jay Cranda. Jay, it's good to be on another podcast together face to face.
I know. I don't think we're getting used to this, looking at each other in the room. So
Yeah. It's good. Well, we have a special guest. You want to introduce our guest, Jay?
Yeah. Well, no. Let him introduce himself. What are you talking about? The world famous? We can't really go into this, but introduce yourself.
Sounds so secret and special. No, my name is Daniel Hall, and I'm the Chief Creative Officer for Socially You. And we are among other things, we build some software and consult. And
so talk about software real quickly.
Yeah, so we build a couple of different programs and platforms. One's an online educational platform. It's video-based learning. And the other is a sort of like a call center app that receives all sorts of communications all in one place. So for response, event response, all sorts of different kind of things.
That's
various nonprofits organizations.
So Socially You because of social at all? Where's the name come from?
Yeah, so we believe that the whole social over the last couple decades, I guess, we've become more and more social. And so learning could be social as well. And so in this video platform, which is kind of the flagship platform, it's called Learn Socially. And so part of that video learning also includes a social aspect of embedding comments, and you can add your own videos and pictures. And so kind of like a classroom participation kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's all in one package there on Learn Socially.
Yeah, and you want to introduce our special guest that's also with
you? Yeah, so I also have here with me, not only is she an amazing woman, but she's my little sister, Holly Tate.
Hello.
With Vander Blumen Search Group.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel.
We'll refer to her as Daniel's little sister.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
So she's been to me my whole life.
Yeah,
This has been such a formal introduction. Like, I'm really enjoying the nice friendliness here, but okay.
This is a friendly conversation.
Yeah.
Well, not always.
Not always.
Because my Spurs are not out of the playoffs, and you and I have some tensions between
us.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about the lame Spurs. So, the conversation, okay, I wish you could see how sad Nils is.
That's anger, actually.
Snapchat did this amazing recap.
So we're here to talk to Daniel.
Okay.
You want to talk about Snapchat?
No. They just did a recap of all the snaps of the Spurs losing, and I got to show Nils in real time slowly stabs of the summary of the Spurs losing.
It was sick how happy it made you. But it was actually a cool feature of Snapchat, so we'll give a little social credit to Snapchat.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk to Daniel about...
About this... Okay, so we heard... So this is kind of like a selfish... I kind of want to hear this again. So talking and hearing about this thing with Radiohead, I'm not going to say Coldplay because I know that will like hurt your
feelings.
You
feeling. Just
did. I did.
That alone.
Aren't they the same thing?
It's not
the same thing.
No, I did it.
No, they're great. Coldplay
okay,
is awesome.
So okay,
yeah.
so Radiohead did like so you so we spend we have this whole podcast about social media.
Yeah.
There's all that you got all these people that are dedicated. Blogs, Mashable, Social Media Examiner, all these people exist on social media to like build up a brand, to somehow generate some kind of movement, maybe a promotional thing, spend money. But like Radiohead did the opposite kind of.
Anti-social social campaign.
Which is really perfect for really their persona, right? And who they've built themselves to be. They're this very antisocial, political, they've always got something to say about what's going on in the world. And so to share from the beginning with your audience, our company does a lot with nonprofits and other organizations, churches, etc. And so it's one of the things we like to do is to encourage creativity and to take risk. And so that was the point of this whole conversation. And just this week was a really incredible thing that Radiohead, they're known to build up hype and to kind of spring these new albums out on people. So Beyonce actually just this last week and a half or so just released this Lemonade thing. She's so cutting edge. Everybody thinks they just blew their mind because she out of nowhere just based on a tweet. Well, Radiohead did this in 2006.
Listen.
Move to the left, okay?
Yeah, so in 2006, they were the first of, like, this whole movement of pay your own price for an album. They did that with little marketing in 2006 with their release In Rainbows. It eventually made it to Starbucks and to other music outlets and eventually iTunes. And it's still not on Spotify, which is also an interesting choice. But to get to this week... I don't even know where exactly. I guess,
leading up to this week, give us like the what started to happen.
Yeah, okay, that's great. So late last year, I think this date's a little spotty, but late last year, October, September, sometime, a new company was started called Dawn Chorus. And so, what radio diehard fans have figured out is that since Radiohead's gone label-free, independent, the last few albums, what they've kind of noticed as a pattern is that they will start their own company and then kind of release all of the things, including that album, outside. Now, I'm not a legal expert. I don't claim any legal knowledge whatsoever, but somehow that's a thing that you have to, like, set up and then do all the paperwork. And so a new company's been started every time that they've released an album. And so fans are watching, and I guess the diehard fans know the legal stuff. They know where to look. They know what trails to follow. So this time, late last year, this company started, Dawn Chorus, D-A-W-N Chorus.
Yep.
So everybody's trying to figure out, what does that mean? Like, what is this, the name of their album? Like, going crazy. Rumors are crazy. Reddit, for those of you that know what that is, Reddit's just blowing up with all this stuff. And then it gets quiet again.
Yep.
And it's been quiet now for... I mean, I guess it's been 6, 7 months, now 8 months.
Yeah.
And just recently, a little rumor dropped here, you know, the super fans know where to get it, and watching tweets, watching conversations between people through Twitter or even Reddit involvement. And buzz started happening. And then seemingly out of nowhere, Radiohead fans that in the past have purchased merchandise from either the online store, Radiohead has gotten their home addresses.
Yeah.
They get a mailer in the mail. It's a like a gray kind of postcard. It's a little bit larger. It looks to be somewhere like a 6x9 kind of postcard, postcard. And there's this like very strange. It's just black ink on gray paper. It's like a strange abstract art looking piece. And then the words that are on it just say, "Sing a song of sixpence that goes." And then in larger letters, "Burn the witch." And the Radiohead logo that fans have come to know over the last 20 to 30 years. And so, and instantly, social media explodes with what's a particular tweet that I like. It just says, "I just got this in the post from Radiohead. Is the new album called Burn the Witch?" And again, this is April 30th, so this is just last week. And so Twitter goes crazy, Reddit goes crazy, Facebook goes crazy. It like starts to climb on the trending.
Yeah.
You know, that's also personal, you know, stats create that. But it started to climb for everybody.
When did you notice all this? Like, were you part of that conversation, or was this?
So I'm not a crazy super fan, but I'm a fan, and I watch them relatively closely. So I have friends that are more, they're in Reddit every day, following the clues.
But you had started to get notices about this. At this point.
Oh, yeah. And I had a friend that was, like, kind of in on rumors already.
Okay.
So he was like, you know, there's like, for 2 months, he's been saying, like, any day now kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, anyway, so, yeah, this popped up, and and I started watching certain music outlets pick it up. And so that's the key, is that just through sending out paper, which nobody does, right? Paper's dead.
Right.
you know, I actually just last week was telling someone, I think I can do without the... sorry if there's any U.S. Postal Service people listening, but they're totally valued and love what they're done. But I think I can personally do it because it's all junk mail.
Yeah. Well, so they bring Amazon packages.
Bring Amazon to your house.
I couldn't do without that.
So they, because of the using the post, that like there's some sort of cost in that. Obviously,
yeah.
There's postage
yeah.
and there's
yeah.
there's material, but the amount of press that they got
yeah.
by doing this
yeah.
and not putting out press releases,
yeah.
not contacting anyone at some music blog or major media outlets, just started getting all sorts of press.
Yeah.
And it probably was on like a music fan level
yeah.
like press, because I mean.
This is their target audience.
It's their target audience. Yeah,
yeah
they knew
yeah.
exactly. I mean, it was exactly their target audience,
yeah.
people who they got their email.
I definitely did not know about this when it was happening.
Yeah,
so I'm
exactly.
definitely not
yeah.
in there.
It was kind of the beginning. It was the beginning of this,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, they lit a fuse, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
And so then a few days pass of rumors and the stories building, and then one Reddit user visits the website and notices that the website looks as if it's, I guess he noticed it was fading away ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Like,
how do you pick that up? It's like,
again,
crazy.
Radiohead, and now they've been around for 31
yeah.
years
yeah.
as a band.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
have this just rabid following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so somebody, is on there often, I guess. And, every
yeah.
day,
yeah.
like I have a friend, again, who's a super fan, who's
yeah.
checking Reddit every day. He
yeah.
may not be going to Radiohead.com.
Yeah.
But so this guy's on Radiohead.com and just notices a slight difference from like the last
yeah.
time he logged in. So sure enough, in Google Chrome, you can inspect a page.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw it. I just did my fingers like how you like control option I.
The claw.
Yeah, the claw.
Yes.
You inspect a page, which we do
yeah.
often to see what tools people
yeah.
are using and stuff.
Yeah.
But and sure enough, the Reddit user and they took a picture, an image, and. The opacity for the website was at 75%.
Yeah.
And so this guy's like, he just struck gold,
yeah.
right? He's like,
yeah.
oh my goodness. So he posts in Reddit and then starts to...
So it was like a 24-hour period where their website was just steadily fading away?
Actually, it was shorter than that, actually.
Okay.
So it started, I think, it started around 11 a.m.
Huh.
on, this was May 1st or 2nd. And then it drops. The guy on Reddit, he kind of goes through and creates a log of
yeah.
the percentages
yeah,
of
yeah.
opacity and the time.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, hardcore fans.
Yeah.
They're even talking about like it looks like it's falling between 5.6%. Could
yeah.
it be that May 6th is the release date? Like,
yeah.
real hardcore.
Yeah. Just for those who don't know,
yeah.
how long had it been since they had released new content?
Great question. Like an album?
Yeah, an album.
Yeah, so 2006 was the In Rainbows
gotcha.
Release that I mentioned earlier. And then it was 2000. Okay, so they also do a lot of side projects. So the fans also have other stuff. From
yeah.
Tom York individually and
yeah.
lead singer. But it had been since 2011 that they released the album, The King of Limbs. So
oh.
this was 5 years.
So 5 years, no content, like, album-wise.
From Radiohead
yeah.
proper.
Yeah. From...
They'd have side projects, and
gotcha.
Tom York had Atoms for Peace, another band that he'd done with Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers,
mm-hmm.
some side projects, and kind of getting music geek on
yeah.
me as well.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah. There's some people just freaking out right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For, yeah.
For all the music
you hit,
fans
like,
out
two
there,
people in
salivating.
The audience.
Yeah. It's awesome.
But they send a mailer, and they make their website disappear.
Then the website, the opacity goes to
yeah.
zero within about 5 hours, and fans
five
are
hours.
Like,
okay.
yeah, roughly. Actually, no, it's less than that, Nils. It's from 11, this guy, he's so detailed, 11:10 Eastern Standard Time. This
must be a busy guy.
To 1:20, so roughly 2 hours.
So they took the time, though, to just steadily fade it away rather
yes.
than just
to the point
the
that at, when it went blank, it didn't just go, like, white.
Yeah.
They deleted the HTML.
Yeah.
So this guy says it at 1:24 Eastern, Radiohead.com now returns an empty page, no HTML returned
yeah.
at all.
But so intentional.
Yeah.
In the way they did
so intentional.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like this guy said, now it's at zero, all caps, hype! Like he's loving it. He's eating it
yeah.
up. And
yeah,
the
yeah.
fans are just eating it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
they kind of get that something big is about to happen in a bizarre way, but you have no idea what it is or really when it's going to happen.
Absolutely. And and of course, like, deleting your website, like, we have all these social media outlets that we can tinker with and test, but, like, your website's your, like, core.
Right.
Now it gets crazy, because... No, I'm just like, no, you share what they did. So.
Okay. So as soon as the website disappears, everyone's been watching that.
Yeah.
And then I guess once it gets to the white, there's not as much to watch. Within 30 more minutes, Facebook and Twitter posts, all of them, every Facebook and Twitter post since 2004, which, you know, is kind of the, arguably the birth of Facebook. Was
12 years.
Yeah, 12 years. Is that right? Math-wise? Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Yeah,
I'm not the math guy.
Sounds good.
Since the kind of like the more
since
public...
Jay was like in diapers.
Yeah. I apologize. I'm younger and probably going to live longer than you from this very moment. But go.
Don't sound bitter about that at all. So Facebook and Twitter posts of 12 years all deleted. Profile image and banner image, white.
Yeah.
So, you mean, it's hard to...
So they deleted even the profile image and the banner. So they're basically gone.
They're gone.
Social media.
They completely delete themselves from all social media presence. And when I say they delete it, so their page is still there.
Yes.
The content is gone.
Yeah.
They still
any
have
information about themselves or...
As far as I know, even like about and stuff's gone. That may a fact checker out there may find that I'm wrong.
Yeah, by the way, Neil's just took a drink of water if you heard that. So.
Sorry about that. Weird noises.
That's
just crazy.
Sorry. Yeah. No. I'm going to play with some foil over here.
This is what we do.
No, this is a professional.
Sorry.
This is great.
Okay. So we don't know.
What's fascinating, too, though, is that this is a band / brand that has 12 million followers, and they just went dark, like completely gone. And again, it was Facebook and Tom York, the lead singer, who is kind of like the mascot, the face.
Yeah.
He also goes completely blank and deletes all. He saved a few artifacts, but there may have been one or two things. It wasn't, but for the most part, he's gone too. And again, this is a decision that, you know, there's probably paid employees that pushed buttons instead of the band. So there is some cost involved, but not like the amount of press they got. I mean, if you Googled Radiohead at that moment, it was like, I mean, Huffington Post, things that aren't, you know, necessarily, it wasn't Huffington Post's music blog.
Yeah.
It was like Huffington Post, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw it
immediately on Mashable, because that's a site that I check regularly, and I was like, Radiohead deletes all social accounts. And I was like, what? Why is that news? I was like trying to figure it out
because
I hadn't put it together because I didn't know they deleted it before. I was just like, why is that important?
Yeah,
and it's like got everyone's attention.
It did, and then it's when I started noticing in coworkers, because I had kind of started indoctrinating him, like, dude, you've got to check this out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
and it started. He doesn't follow them on Facebook or anything, and it started trending in his Facebook news trending news feed. So I was like, okay, now it's getting really real.
Even non-fans.
Yeah.
Even non-fans are starting to pick it up.
Yeah.
And, so it's this amazing amount of... And it started creating memes and some really awesome memes about how it was like an accident. You know, there's pictures of band members like accidentally deleting their bands.
That's awesome.
And then after about between 24 and 48 hours of like being gone from social media, letting that kind of sit for a while, a 15-second or even less. It's a really short, very cryptic Instagram video comes up with just a bird tweeting. It's like a claymation bird. After that, of course, that gets more media.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
gets more press.
Yeah.
And it's like, they released a teaser video.
That makes
like,
no sense.
You got to watch this. And it's like, everyone's watching a bird tweet.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy, too.
It's
a little like...
But then another I think it was another day, another 24 hours went by. I think, again, some hardcore Radiohead fans, like, I'm going to get this guy.
Yeah, they're not listening
me.
To this, but anyways. I'm trying to picture our, like, audience right now. Like, anyways.
Yeah, no, if they're still with us, it's going to get good, I promise. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a point.
Pay attention.
Yeah. And then another really cryptic message comes out, a video on Instagram.
Yeah.
And also didn't mention that they killed all their Instagram posts
as
well. So, I mean, all social media was gone.
Yeah.
And then the second little video comes out, but it has 15 seconds of audio, like new music. This is the first new music sample we've gotten from Radiohead in 5 years. And that of course, was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, that song was the first single released. It's called Burn the Witch. So now fans are like, okay, I got the mailer.
Yeah.
It's coming around.
Yeah.
But that's not the name of the album. Still don't know what that is.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So it's like,
you're
not going to give all those pieces away. And then 24 hours after that single was released, another music video comes out.
Okay.
Another 15-second clip that was released first.
Okay.
Very cryptic of Tom York walking around what looks like a parking garage or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that comes out, again, 15 seconds of brand new music from Radiohead.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, in the hour, the song Daydreaming came out.
Yeah.
Another 24 hours, and it's like at noon, pretty much at noon every time. Eastern.
And are they releasing this on all platforms, the music to download? Or
it was on iTunes, and believe it or not, which is really strange, it was on Spotify as well, these songs were.
Huh.
Yeah, because they actually have been, since they've been independent, they've been pretty reluctant to put stuff on Spotify. They're so anti-establishment, man. They're so cool,
yeah.
You know? They're so cool, British rock, you know?
There you go.
They're so cool.
So 24 hours after that, second single's released, people are analyzing and digging into both the music videos and I don't even want to go into how cryptic and awesome all the music videos are. But, and then, of course, 24 hours after, you know, the second music video, they release the fact that now our album's for sale.
Yeah.
Go get
Boom.
The album. And it's called, let's see, the Instagram just says, our new album is available now at Radiohead.com. And so it was like, wait, no, it's blank. Everybody go there. And when you went there, it redirected to Radiohead.com/deadairspace, which is kind of a, fans know that's a common phrase for Radiohead.
Okay.
Which is interesting because, again, dead airspace, so they're kind of playing on, like, silence and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's even lyrics from old Radiohead songs that are called, that people have hung on to. It's called How to Disappear Completely. And so it's like, you know, even though this is, like, shocking and oh my goodness, like, this is sort of, there's sort of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a precursor for, what's the word, guys? I'm totally blind. Foretelling. There's sort of a foretelling.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Thank you, little sister.
Oh. That's
a nice moment right there.
So they foreshadowed it's going to happen. And then, you know, Radiohead.com, there's a couple links. One's independently, one's, I think, iTunes. And so you go to their independent one, and of course it's got the track listing, it's got the special edition, which also a really cool little side thing, it's completely non-digital. Radiohead has, with the special edition, cut up all of their tape from all of their albums and is putting that in the special edition. So you may get silence, you may get a chorus, that's what they're saying, but you will get actual recorded reel-to-reel tape with your special edition purchase. So not only did they go completely dark on, you know, social media or whatever, but this whole idea of disappearing, they're like giving themselves away, which is just this really, I mean, it's beautiful, right? It's like this poetic,
it's kind of beautiful and weird at the same time.
It is. Hey, that is the perfect description of radio.
That's their audience. No doubt about it.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
And so, you know, talking about risking creativity and the payoff for
Let's talk about payoff.
The payoff for them, it's like, you know, they get all this press, all this media attention.
By doing nothing.
By doing, well, doing something.
Doing something very intentional.
But doing what
that,
looks like something stupid
and
completely risky. I can't believe you built this platform. You spent 3 decades building an audience just to destroy yourself.
Yeah.
However, the first couple days after release, they were number one in 67 countries.
Wow.
With their new album, which is called
Well, you should know.
I know.
How do you
I've only listened to it 100 times.
You don't need to give me any press because I've got plenty of press.
I know. A moon-shaped pool.
A moon-shaped pool.
Which is,
yes.
That itself is like, what is that?
Have you downloaded it yet?
Oh, I downloaded it within the first hour.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
waiting for my little piece of tape.
No, actually, I didn't get the special edition. Exactly. But yeah, it's number one in 67 countries.
Wow.
And again, they're a big, you know, they've got a giant worldwide audience.
Yeah.
But to be number one in 67 countries without paying a press company, without going through media outlets.
So do you think that they really didn't consult with anybody, like in the sense of like hired them?
I'm sure there's a team, you know, but it's, you know, they're smart guys. They've got people that give opinions and all this. But yeah, I can't either confirm or deny.
Of course.
Media team.
Yeah.
It's just it's such an interesting model to go. I mean, it makes sense because they're known for stuff like this, and obviously, talking about earlier about Beyonce, like somehow reactively take those ideas. So it's going to be funny to watch who does something like this.
So let's talk strategy behind this, though. Church leaders are imitators, and generally speaking, when it comes to social media. So I think church leaders are going to hear this and say, and I'm not picking on church leaders, but they're going to say, oh, should we just delete our social media accounts? Does that make sense? Like,
right.
is that the lesson to learn here?
No, actually, no, I don't think it is. I think it's what I take from all of this, especially from ministry leaders, is that the fact that we just have to constantly be thinking outside of the box.
Yes.
And I think it's know the box well.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm saying right now. So know how to reach your audience.
Yeah.
Know how to overcome objections.
Yes.
Know how to speak the language.
Yep.
But also know, it's kind of like know the rules so you know when to break them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's know it well enough, but also be willing to have, to take risks.
Yeah.
And to be creative.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I could go through. My heart is very wrapped around this idea of creativity in the church. And just, we aren't creative enough. We let, like you just said, we're more followers of creativity rather than, and there are great exceptions to this, of course. A really great conversation that I'm sure you guys are aware of and your audience is very aware of lately with Eugene Peterson and Bono having a conversation around the Psalms about this. Super interesting conversation that we need to be coming back to often as believers, as people created by the Creator and made in His image. We need to be coming back to creativity often.
So good.
And risk taking.
That's good. Often. Creativity and risk taking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea of being aware and also taking risk, because I think about how many people struggle. A lot of times, I mean, a lot of people who are listening to this just trying to get on Facebook. But then it's like, no, like, you got to know who you're going after. You got to also know that you got to be willing to try something new. And I think really if anyone's listening, we challenge people all the time to do this, just to be looking around at what's working and things that get on your radar and try to figure out, like, if you can somehow reverse engineer that moment. Because that's something that I was totally, like, it got on my radar and I didn't know why. And I did not know, like, until I heard this whole buildup. And I jumped in at the end. So, like, I appreciated it just that they deleted their channels in some way. And then when I found out, like, there was this whole website thing, and then, like, it made the whole, it's like, it's some kind of, like, legend. Like, there's
right.
this urban, like, there's this whole other thing.
I'm sure in a decade people will talk about how Radiohead was the
yes.
first, you know,
yes.
maybe.
Yes.
Remember when Radiohead deleted everything? Because
yeah.
as far as I know.
Is nobody can
yeah.
do this now, because it will always be, oh, yeah, that's cute. You just copied Radiohead.
Right.
You know, like, this can't be redone.
Especially among audiophiles and music fans.
Sure, sure.
You know.
But you got, I think, there are 2 million other unthought of ideas of how to creatively use social media.
Absolutely.
To market, to promote, to engage, to connect, that we just haven't. I could have never thought of this. Like, I know what they need to do is just delete all this stuff and then release a bird video, you know? Like, who would think of this? But I think it comes down to creativity and risk of being, like, as a social media strategist, I would never tell somebody to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be too scared because I'd be too scared of the risk of what if this doesn't work. But somebody was willing to, and now they're number one in 67 countries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's payoff when you take risk. But there's also risk, which means you could fall on your face.
Yeah.
And you've got to be okay with that. Like, Radiohead was okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, point. Absolutely. And again, they're a legacy band. They're not a a young pastor playing
yeah, yeah,
a church.
Yeah.
They're not an older congregation church trying social media for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're not these situations. So
yeah.
This is great
yes.
risk and great
yeah.
creativity. But I love it.
I can only guess, though, if I were to come to, like, our leadership team and say, you know what we need to do this Christmas? You know? Is because what we're doing is we're checking our hosting company and making sure our website didn't go down.
Right.
Much less, like, taking it off the internet for
yeah.
a couple of days.
I do think, though, that there is, like, something around the idea that they've built such a loyal crowd
yeah.
that... I mean, that I think
but
that's...
But so have churches, right?
Yeah, but the problem is sometimes you're so broad on your communication that you're
yeah.
trying... Because churches, if they're aware in some sense, they're
yeah.
trying to be evangelistic.
Yeah.
They want to reach everyone.
They want to reach everyone,
yeah.
exactly. Oh, speaking Holly's language over here in persona. Vandabloom right there. So it's that idea of, like, they're reaching everyone, but their audience is not so targeted. So this is where they went... Radiohead went all in. Another one that I think of that has done something recently in this same type of vein is Louis C.K. with his release of his new show that he did. And he has, like, Steve Buscemi and all this stuff. And, like, all he did was he sent an email to his email list. And because he owns the show, he took out a loan and built the show. I mean, it's not through some big company. He, like, just sent an email and said, Lewis and Pete is available for download, and nobody
yeah.
even knew what that was. Like,
yeah,
he didn't
wow.
say anything. He
yeah.
just sent an email,
yeah.
and he said, he talked about it on, I think it was Conan O'Brien. He was talking about how it was like a psychology experiment. What happens if I don't talk about it at all, and I don't have anybody talk about it, and I just release it? And he just wanted to see, and then he released an episode every week. And then, like, after so many weeks, he said, oh, you can download them all. But he literally just talked to his core, and the core kind of, like, rippled
yeah.
and it was almost like this multiplication thing where, like, instead of talking to everyone and, like, oh, it does okay, he talked to a couple and got them real psyched, and they felt honored to be the first ones to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That created, like, a tidal wave versus, like, maybe just, you know, a big splash.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some last thoughts that you're thinking through, Niels?
You know, I keep going back to what we said, creativity and risk. I want to see churches push creativity, take risks. I want to hear from Daniel, though. Last thought, church leaders, around this idea. What do you want to tell church leaders?
Oh, wow.
no swearing, okay?
No swearing.
Delete all of your social media.
No.
That's what I'm going for.
Okay, it's glad to have Daniel on the podcast for the last time ever.
I can put my hands over their ears right now. Thanks to this guy. No, and I mean, it's simple. It's what you just said. It's simple to be... you know, we talked about two extremely, what's the appropriate word nowadays, secular,
yeah.
You know, of the world examples, Louis
yeah.
C.K. and Radiohead, which I think is totally fine for us to do, is to,
yeah.
to watch and learn from the best so that we can glean some lessons to then figure out in our context how it applies.
Mm.
Is it deleting artists? Of course it's not. You know, I don't think it is.
No.
But in our context, for our people,
mm-hmm.
for our core, I love that you said that, like, go after the core. What's our context? How can we take good risks,
yeah.
you know, and creativity? And I think ways to do this, I didn't mean to start preaching all over again, but when we consult with companies and nonprofits, we talk about creating a labs. So, like, this is part of the beginning, the baby steps of risk is creating space,
right.
Set aside some resources and maybe even some like a person's time to start with risk.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
yeah.
we know if all of this fails, if this falls on its face, and it goes nowhere, it's okay. It was built into the budget.
Yes.
Which I know that's like, don't use the B word. But to create what we call it a lab.
Yeah.
So like create a lab.
Yeah.
So you know if all of this fails, it's okay. But that creates a space, allocated resources for risk and for creativity.
Yeah, so. I wish every ministry, I think about when I was a youth pastor, if I could have had a labs budget, which just gave me 20% of my budget that was okay to fail it. What, you know, use however you
low
want
money.
To.
Just go figure out how to use this.
If you're never going to get in trouble for however you use this, and it's, you know,
well,
you're allowed to risk.
20% of a youth budget would be like $500.
Exactly.
So.
But you can do a lot with
$500.
You can do a lot with $500. That's true. But that's true. Creative, yeah, totally. I love
that.
You
get 100 gigs on Fiverr for $500.
Okay, you love Fiverr too much. Okay. Okay, well, thanks, Daniel and
Absolutely.
Holly, for hanging out. And this is so we're going to have a couple different links of things to kind of go into and also links to learn more about Daniel and Holly. And thanks, Niels, for being on the show this week. If you're interested, why are you looking at me weird?
This is just weird being in the same room.
It is. It's true. To learn more about the show, go to socialmedia.church and use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.